Wow. That is what we want to celebrate today. We want to celebrate not only the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us, but we also want to celebrate this incredible miracle that our God has created. Bummer, this isn't working, guys. There we go. That we celebrate the Holy Christian Church. Now, we're going to confess that church at the end of this message, but what we mean by the Holy Christian Church is that there is one church within the world. It is the church of everybody who believes in Jesus as their Savior. The Holy Christian Church, the communion or the gathering of those who are holy, the communion of saints, the one holy apostolic Christian church. And so that's what we're going to celebrate today. That's what that hymn celebrated as well. What I'd like to do is I'd like to read together. Yeah, this isn't working, guys. Can you give me a different one, any chance? All right, now it's controlled. Now I got it. Thank you. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Ephesus, and he is talking about this one holy Christian church. He says, Jesus, himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, I should have made sure that you'd opened up your phones or looked at a Bible, because that's a lot of stuff, and I want to try to unpack it just a little bit. So what he's really talking about is this holy Christian church, this everybody who believes in Jesus. This is spans the world and spans the centuries. But as I think about the Holy Christian Church, this picture comes to my mind. This is Notre Dame in Paris. And about 2 months ago, I was in horror as I saw this picture. And I was afraid that the whole building would come completely burned down. Now, thankfully, through the heroic efforts of so many people, the building wasn't completely burned down. The shell remained. But this is what's left of it today. What happened is the spire collapsed. The scaffolding was there. The entire roof was engulfed in flames. This is what it looks like from above, where you can see where the ceiling is gone because of where the spire was. All of the timbers were burned away, and there's holes in the vaulted ceiling. Inside, what used to be a beautiful sanctuary to worship our Savior is a place of rubble. And the altar that at one time was this beautiful place where we could celebrate God's amazing grace is now a place filled with debris. You got to be controlling this. This is not working at all for me. So, all right. Next slide. So, that's not the next slide. That's not the next slide either. Forget it. Just forget it. Just go to United Slide. or blank it out, please. Just blank it out. Thank you. All right. So why do I have in my mind this image of Notre Dame in flames? Because as you look at the Holy Christian Church across the world, it seems like the church is in flames. The church is divided in so many ways. The church is divided by denominations, it's divided racially, it's divided economically. And not only that, in your own personal lives, doesn't it seem like the church is in flames? Because you probably know people who at one time seemed to be part of this holy Christian church, who seemed to put their faith in Christ, and now that faith is gone. And it just seems like the church is in flames. But I want to assure you that the Holy Christian Church is a miracle that the Holy Spirit created, and the Holy Spirit will preserve that church to the end of time. Boy, this is really tough, let me tell you. Sound, video, woo! My mind is blown. By the way, it's my anniversary today, so you got to cut me a little bit of slack. It's our 40th anniversary today, so you got to cut me a little slack. I got to pray, because my mind is just, right now it's blown. Lord Jesus, you promised to pour out your Holy Spirit so long ago. Your disciples were gathered in the upper room, and they didn't understand what was going on, and they were just filled with anxiety and fear. And over again, you promised the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would guide them into all truth and be a witness for them and through them. And so, Lord Jesus, fulfill that promise today. Pour out your Holy Spirit on me, that I might just find joy in talking to your people about what the Holy Spirit has done and is doing. And pour out the Holy Spirit on all of us so that in spite of the stumbling and fumbling that I'm doing up here, that your name is glorified and our hearts are opened, and we just appreciate this incredible miracle that you have performed. So come, Holy Spirit, kindle in me, kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. So let's take a look again at Ephesians chapter 4. Why do I think the church is burning down? It's because that's what Jesus tells us has to happen through the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in our section does talk to us about how there has to be destruction within God's church. In fact, it's my prayer that God would send his wind. You see, the word Holy Spirit, the word Spirit in the Old Testament is wind. I love you too, brother, but you just texted me and made my lesson go away. Man, woo! This would help immensely. Ah, excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, he says, for he is our peace who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. You see, there's something that has to be destroyed in God's church. He has to destroy this barrier, this dividing wall of hostility. So, what is that dividing wall of hostility? In the early Christian church, you know, so often you hear about, oh, the good old days when there were no divisions, when the church, that place never existed. The church has always had divisions. You see, in the early Christian church, there was this huge divide that was so huge it spanned the entire Mediterranean world. Paul deals with it in nearly every one of the letters that he wrote. It's the divide between Jewish background Christians and Gentile background Christians. You see, Jews who came to faith in Jesus, they had worshiped the God of the Old Testament by circumcising their babies on the eighth day, by making sure that they kept kosher, you know, that they ate only clean, kosher foods. They observed the Sabbath. That's the way you worship God. And when they found out that Jesus was the God of the Old Testament come in human flesh to be their Savior, they went, how do you worship this God? Oh, we circumcise our babies on the eighth day. We make sure that we keep our kosher food laws, and we keep the Sabbath day to remember that we have this marvelous rest in our Savior. The Gentiles who came to faith went, we've never done any of that stuff. Why should we do that? Paul says that the only thing that really matters is that we know that Jesus is our Savior. And so there was this huge hostility, this divide in the Christian church. The Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians wouldn't even eat together. And so what's true then is true yet to this day. There are divides within the Christian church. In fact, I like to kind of laugh. Now, those of you who are online now and are not familiar with our campus, I should just explain that our regular services are across the parking lot in the church, and we are celebrating the bridge here in our gym and in our school building. And in many people's minds, there is this vast divide. And there's some people on that side of the campus that are absolutely convinced that this is the wrong way to worship God because they have grown up worshiping in traditional fashion, and that's the way you show honor to the Savior who died for you. There's people on this side of the campus who don't really want to go across to that side of the campus because, you know what, that seems dead and dry and I'm not interested. And it's okay if there's these differences, but very often, Satan uses these differences among us to create hostility towards each other, that one is right and one is wrong. And so that's why it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Wind, would burn down these dividing walls of hostility that exist yet in the Christian church, even within our own congregation to this day. Now, how does he burn down that dividing wall of hostility? That's where the Apostle Paul says, by setting aside in his flesh, by Jesus setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. So what does Jesus do? He just acknowledges, you know what? Those of you who are Jewish background Christians and you're observing all of these laws that God commanded in the Old Testament, do they get you closer to God? No. In fact, you can't keep them perfectly, so that you're just more guilty than ever. And you Gentile Christians who go, I don't do that stuff, you have your conscience. Do you follow your conscience? Do you do everything that your conscience says that you should do? No. You see, what he does is he sets aside in his body the law with its commands and regulations. You couldn't save yourself whether you were Jewish or whether you were Gentile, and that's why I have come. He goes on, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, one body out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, right? By which he put to death their hostility. You see, how is this hostility that naturally grows up between Gentile and Jewish Christian, between the traditionalist and the non-traditionalist of this world in the Christian world today? What destroys that dividing wall of hostility is by recognizing that whether we are traditional or non-traditional, we're failing to reconcile ourselves to God. We have something in common that unites us, and that's the cross, that we only have peace through the cross of Christ. And so who am I? Who is the Jewish Christian to look down at the Gentile Christian because they're reconciled to God in the same way? Who is the Gentile Christian to look down on the Jewish Christian, you traditionalist that person's reconciled to God in the same way as I am. How can we look down at each other? How can we let division be present among us? Because we have this in common, that we find peace in the midst of that rubble. The Apostle Paul says, he, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Probably the first readers of Ephesians would have said, peace to you who are far away. The Jewish Christians would go, you Gentiles, you were far away from God, but you have peace through Christ, just like me. And the guys from the Gentile background would look at the Jewish Christians and go, you guys at one time were near to God because you had the Old Testament, but you got find peace in the same way. And that's how you and I find unity today within the Christian church. Whether you think somebody was far away or near, I don't care. Let's dig through the rubble as we confess our sin and our own failures. Let's dig through the rubble and find the treasure of peace that we have in common. And as we dig through the rubble, we're going to find out this marvelous news that the foundation remains firm. Even though God has had to send his Holy Spirit to blow on us that holy wind to burn down the arrogance and the pride in our hearts, the foundation stands firm. And what is that foundation? The Apostle Paul writes, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. Let's read verse 20 together. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. What's the foundation? It's Christ and his word, right? Let's dig down to the foundation, to Christ and his word. If the church is going to be built up, we need to dig down to that foundation, because that foundation is firm. You can't dig down and say, what does Pete believe? Because what I believe and I'm convinced of isn't going to help your conscience. You got to dig down. You can't build on me. You got to dig down and build on that foundation yourself. That's what regular reading of God's word is all about. I got to dig down and see that that foundation is firm for myself. And I've got some really great news for you. Wherever you find that foundation, the wind, the Holy Spirit, builds his church. Many of you drive by dozens of churches to come here, and we're thankful that you're here. And there's a reason why we are here. There are differences, doctrinal differences among different churches, and I don't want to ignore that. We'll talk about that later on in this United series. But as you drive by those churches, just celebrate the fact that if Christ and his word is taught, if Christ is the cornerstone and they have the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the New Testament and the Old Testament, if Christ is taught there, there are going to be believers there. There are going to be people who are united with you in a common faith in Jesus who have received the treasure of peace. We may not be able to worship with them, but we can sure celebrate that the Holy Spirit is doing his work wherever that foundation is found. So we need to be careful, though, how we build on that foundation, because there are winds. There are other spirits of our time. You know, if somebody is putting pressure on you, what's the temptation? You tend to respond with pressure, and you tend to overcompensate. That's what happens in the Christian church. I don't think anybody ever said, hey, let's build on this foundation in a way that ignores part of God's word. Let's teach false doctrine. I don't think anybody woke up and said, let's do that. What they did is they were responding to the winds of time. For example, when I was a teenager, it hasn't been that long ago, you know, Joni and I got married when we were 1 year old, I'm pretty sure. When I was a teenager, None of our schools had dances. You know why? Because you're not supposed to look at a person lustfully. So what our elders did is they said, okay, here's the foundation of Christ and his word, and we know what God's word says, but there's this winds of the spirit of the age that we have to be careful about. So we better respond to that wind. We better add a little bit beyond what the foundation teaches. We're going to just say, no dancing. And you know, those of us who are of that age went, I don't see it in the Bible. I think those guys are crazy. And we resented what we saw as something going beyond Scripture. I have a friend who is a pastor of an evangelical free church. Actually, he's kind of like a bishop, an overseer of a number of churches in the evangelical free church in Germany. He personally believes in the 6 days of creation, but he said, you know what, if I teach that from the pulpit, nobody will believe me. Nobody will come to church because everybody in Germany believes in theistic evolution or evolution of some kind. So he, from the pulpit, he teaches theistic evolution. You see, he's responding to the winds, the spirit of his age. That's happening to every one of us. There are winds, spirits of our age that are tempting us to build on that foundation in a way that's just a little bit off. And when you're a little bit off the foundation, that puts you in a dangerous place. I appreciate what Pastor Nate said when we studied this as a ministerial team. He said, you know, in the old days, that cornerstone really meant something. It wasn't just pretty decoration. It was the first stone that you laid, and then when you laid out the foundation, you made sure that you were, you know, right in line with that cornerstone, that the whole building was square based on that cornerstone. And then you'd use a plumb line and make sure that you built up carefully on that foundation so that the walls were straight. That's what you and I have to do. We have to dig down into the Scriptures and find the foundation for our faith and then constantly be examining, am I overcompensating because I sense the winds of time? You got to do that for the church. The only way that the church stays faithful is if you guys are digging into God's Word, but not just the corporate church, your family churches too. How are you as a parent, how are you as a relative being influenced by the world of this time, the winds of this age, so that maybe you're building up and confessing your faith in a way that compromises the truth? We have to be careful how we build on this foundation, because if we don't, the winds of this age are just going to topple us. And as we build, let's celebrate that the wind, the Holy Spirit, will create something new. Now, I don't know if you're aware that in Paris there is quite a debate going on right now, because there are some people who say, let's build Notre Dame exactly the way it was. The trouble is, to build Notre Dame exactly the way it was, it will take 300 years. Because you see, there are 300-year-old oaks that were burned up in that fire. You can't build it the way it was. We don't have 300-year oaks. You can't go back. And so there are others, like this artist and architect, who say, let's just acknowledge that the fire happened, and now let's build a building that reflects multiple generations and multiple times. And so he's suggesting a glass roof that's lit at night and has trees in it, and you can look up and see this beautiful steeple, and people can walk here and enjoy God's creation on the top of Notre Dame. Now, you can imagine that there are the traditionalists who hate that idea, and there are some who love it. And what I want you to remember is that the church is being built into a new church. Paul wrote, in him, you two, in Christ, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Sometimes we want to go back to the good old days of God's church. But we can't build the church the way it was in the past. But let's just celebrate how God is building up his church in new and beautiful ways. Now, I'm just going to give you an example because I love to pick on Pastor Bonach. I don't think he's here, so it's safe. I hope he doesn't watch online. You see, when I got here, the congregation had just celebrated its 140th anniversary. And they had made this video celebrating the 140th anniversary. And Pastor Bonach was a much younger man at the time. And he was the young pastor on staff. And he had these great big eyes as he shared his excitement about the future of the church here at St. Paul's, because we even have a website. Who would have imagined 20-some years ago that we'd be broadcasting the message that we proclaim here on our campus to places like India and Africa? But you see, the wind's blowing. The Holy Spirit is blowing on his church. And he's using the gifts and abilities that God gives people today to build up his church in ways that we could never have imagined. And rather than go all for the good old days, let's just make sure that we're digging down to the foundation and that we understand what the foundation is, that we see Christ and his word, that we celebrate our unity, that we have the same source of peace through the cross of Christ. Our sins are forgiven. And that we carefully build up on this foundation. And then as we see how the church changes, how the message of the gospel is proclaimed in different ways, rather than long for the good old days, let's just celebrate that the church looks new and beautiful and will be used to reach more people, because it desperately needs to reach more people. I want to just close with a testimony of my own. Last night, just before the 5 o'clock church service, I got a phone call from one of the police officers here. You know, I'm the police chaplain here at St. Paul's, or in Muskego. And he asked if I would come to a place where a family member had died and the rest of the family would appreciate a chaplain. And I said, well, I can't. I'm going to preach, but I went right out after church. So here's a man much younger than me who died in his sleep. The night before, some of the same police officers dealt with an even younger man dying in a car accident in our city. You see, death is real. And the need for the gospel is real. The need for a church that digs down to the foundation and carefully builds on that church and uses new ways to reach people for Christ. There's a desperate need for it right here in our own community. And that's why I'm praying, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come on us. Let the fire destroy whatever causes division among us. And then build your church as you know best. And I just want to celebrate that by going back and just saying, you know what, the Holy Christian Church is not something that is of our day, but it stretches across the centuries. So I want to close with confessing together Luther's explanation to the third article, the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Christian Church. So I'd ask you to please stand, and let's take a look. I'm going to ask you to read along with me. Every once in a while, I'll pause before we go on and I'll make a couple of comments. Please join with me. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Isn't this what we're celebrating on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit wasn't just poured out so long ago on the apostles and then stepped out. He is still active among us. Your faith is evidence that the Holy Spirit is being poured out on God's church right now. And so we confess. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And so we're praying, Lord, don't just pour out your Spirit here, but pour out your Spirit all over the world, wherever your gospel is proclaimed. Let that Spirit wind burn down pride and arrogance, reveal sin, convict just as you have promised. And Lord, then bring peace, that forgiveness, into more people's hearts. And we confess, in this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And this is what we're going to celebrate in this last song. God bless you, brother.